players you'd like to mention?
Well, the one player I always remember in those days was Little Lloyd Wainer. You know, when you're in the minor leagues and you've read so much about these great hitters, naturally, when I was young, when you mentioned great hitters, you always thought of Paul Wainer and Lloyd Wainer. Mm-hmm. And when we had the first meeting going against Paul Wainer, in our meeting, the manager said, just throw the ball down the middle of the plate and let him hit it. And it surprised me, and I asked one of the older fellows why we should throw the ball down the middle of the plate to Paul Wainer, because he was such an outstanding hitter. And he just explained, if you throw it inside, he'll double to right. If you throw it outside, he'll double to left. So we throw it down the middle and hope he singles the center. That's the kind of esteem that they held Paul Wainer in.
I see. No, this is Paul.
That's Paul. And I had occasion to play with Lloyd in Philadelphia. And Lloyd was just practically through by then. But you could tell that he knew everything about defense in center field.
Oh, really?
He had the quickness to start off with on the fly ball. As soon as the ball was hit, Lloyd had been gone. Mm-hmm. When by the time he got to us, he couldn't throw like he could do, and he lost some of his speed. But he still got the bat on the ball. And in fact, in those days, my wife and I were camera bucks. We had an 8mm camera. And we did have occasion to take a lot of footage of Little Lloyd out there playing center field and hitting. Mm. And I remarked to him, I saw him a couple years ago at one of the Hall of Fame dinner somewhere, about all the footage we had on him, and he was trying to get it from me. And I just felt that it was so important to us that I wouldn't give it away.
Sure, that's understandable. What about Bobby Bregan?
Bobby Bregan. I would say that of all the young ball players that I had played with, Bobby possibly had one of the keenest minds in baseball. It's just too bad that his ability wasn't equal to his mind. If you recall, when Bobby came up in those days, shortstops, he came up as an infielder, and you had to have the great speed. And Bobby couldn't run fast at all. He had a catcher speed. And yet he was good enough to get to the major leagues as a shortstop with that tremendous lack of speed that everyone needs a shortstop has. Mm-hmm. But I was happy to say that when Bobby got through playing, that his mind carried him into the managing end of it. And he was a very successful manager. In fact, any time that you went into a Bregan-managed ball club, you knew that you were going to be in for a lot of trouble, because they knew how to play ball. He gambled at the right times. His club had the proper instruction in every position. And you had to have much the better of ability on your ball club to beat him. I like Bobby. Bobby and I have been friends for a long, long time. In fact, I was the one to succeed Bobby in Pittsburgh when he was let go.
He's one of five men so far who lives far away. Of course, I'm young and have to stick around and earn a living, so I can't travel to interview players. I more or less stick to this area. He's been one of the five men who's responded. I know he's a busy man, so I appreciate it that much more. He's president of the Texas League.
Yeah, he's a fine man. And he's very intellectual, and he'll give you a good interview if you do ever have the opportunity to get a chance to talk with him.
Fine. What was Merrill May like? Pinky May.
Well, we gave Merrill that name, Pinky. It wasn't because he was redheaded or fair of complexion. He was an angry ball player all the time. Merrill was another ball player that couldn't run worth a lick. And yet, he was a tremendous third baseman, had a fine arm, good hands, covered all the ground ball, all the area a third baseman has to cover. And although he didn't have much power, he could hit the ball all around. He what we call a spray hitter. He could hit the ball behind the runner. The shortstop left a little soon. He'd hit the ball in the hole that the shortstop had left. Mm-hmm. And Merrill, like I said, he was an angry athlete. We gave him that name, Pinky, because he'd get mad so quick. Mm-hmm. And I did have occasion, after I left Merrill, to manage his son,
Milt.
And while we're talking about Merrill, I happened to be in a ball game when his son was in a D-League down in North Carolina somewhere, and Merrill was managing against him. Mm-hmm. So the first time young Milt May come up, he hit a ball over the right field fence. So that was all right. He played against his dad's team. And the next time up, young May hit another ball over the right field fence. And the third time up, the first pitch to young May was right at his head. And I told Pinky after the game, I said, Pink, I said, that's all right to throw at him. I said, but if you hit him, you better not go home with mama.
Right.
And that's a true story.
Yeah, that's a good one. How about Mickey Livingston?
Mick was a pretty good catcher. He was a Southern boy. Mickey and I were roommates when my oldest son was born in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would say about a week before the blessed event took place, Mickey and I did a lot of walking around the room waiting for it because we were a little late with the first child. We didn't know when it was going to get here. But Mick was a good catcher and also had some power.
Mm-hmm.
And he's another fellow. Had he come up with another ball club that could have made a good name for himself.
Sure.
I know it sounds unusual for me to say had he come up with another ball club, but you being so young and not knowing anything about the Phillies in those days, We didn't have a good ball club at all. In fact, when we won one or two games in a row, it might have been a cause for a congressional investigation because they probably thought that somebody was throwing ball games. I know it's hard to look back and say, how could any one ball club be that bad? But we were that bad.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of, one other question. You mentioned, you were expecting a son. At the time you went into the service, were you married?
Yes.
Did you have any children at that time?
Yes, I had a son.
Okay. What did you think of Jerry Nugent? Apparently he was more or less forced out, by the way, because he made no effort to really improve the club. As soon as a guy got good, he was peddled for cash.
I would say that Jerry was working under tough circumstances. When we were young now, there was only one ball club as far as anybody was concerned in Philadelphia, and that was the Philadelphia Athletics and Connie Mack.
They were the Philadelphia
ball club.
Okay.
And when they were playing at Baker Bowl, the Phillies, they did have their own loyal following at Baker Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then something came up where they had to get out of Baker Bowl, and they became tenants with the Athletics. Mm-hmm. We went to Shy Park and played our home ball games.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, the people in Philadelphia that wanted to see baseball, they would always go see the A's play, and we were sort of, I know it sounds unusual, like newcomers, but there was very little interest in the Philadelphia Phillies in those days. Naturally, I would say that our playing personnel had a lot to do with it, but Jerry didn't have very much money to operate on. In other words, if he wanted to continue being the owner of the Philadelphia Ball Club, if he did get a good athlete, he would have to sell him in order to meet the expenses for maybe the months coming up or the following year.
So he was not a personally wealthy man himself.
No, I don't think Jerry was wealthy.
Tom Yawkey to just spend.
No,